Jet Nation Radio. And here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Jet Nation Radio. I am Brandon Dowling alongside with my main guys here, Angelo Berkowitz and Tom Shane. Lots to talk about, as every single week we bring you nonstop Jets breakdown and Jets talk here on Jet Nation Radio. There's so much going on right now. You have the OTAs, everybody breaking down who looks good already, you know, what impact player is going to go where. You know, the Jets right now, their biggest need and their biggest concern this offseason, everybody decided to talk about, was the wide receivers. What direction were they going to go in at wide receiver? They went out and they made the big move and signed Eric Decker. It seems like that has been kind of swept under the rug lately, as all you hear the talk about are the newcomers from the draft. You know, the Jets went into last season with a very open mind in terms of wide receiver. It didn't work out so well. Guys getting hurt and guys not stepping up like Stephen Hill. So it's very interesting to see what will happen with the Jets wide receiving core. You know, of course, all the Jet fans out there would like to see a weapons, you know, a solid group of weapons at the disposal of the quarterback, whoever it may be, according to some people out there. And the call line is open tonight at 646-716-4697. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce my co-hosts alongside Angelo Berkowitz and Tom Shane. How you doing, guys?
Hello, Brandon.
What's up?
So, guys, we'll jump right into it. You know, the big talk this week in OTAs was Shaq Evans. And, you know, coming in and going down, you know, he was, in my opinion, when the Jets drafted him and I watched his highlight tape from UCLA, I was really impressed. I was impressed with the ball skills and, of course, the red zone production that this guy had at UCLA. So my question is, and we'll start with you, Tom, what do you think the realistic expectations are for the Jets' rookie wide receivers? Are you expecting, in terms of as a fan and, you know, as an analyst, for them to walk onto the field and make an immediate impact, or do you think it's going to take some time and people might get a little restless?
I think it's going to take some time, especially with guys like somebody like Jalen Saunders, who's tiny, needs like a year and a weight program, 5'8", 160. Everything you hear about him is exciting. You know, he's got a lot of swagger. He's got a lot of game, very quick. Very exciting comparison I read this week was Webster Slaughter, you know, which was one of my favorite players growing up. But as far as Shaq Evans goes, I haven't read anything necessarily that says he's ready right now. He's kind of a project, maybe not as much as project as Saunders, but I think it's going to take some time for him. He still has to learn how to run the routes, and I understand he's not catching it as well as he would like for an immediate impact player. What do you think, Angelo?
I think it's easy to impress in shirts and, you know, shorts. When the games come, it's going to be tough for him to produce. First of all, I don't have very high expectations out of Jet wide receivers to begin with. I mean, when was the last Jet wide receiver you had that you drafted at any time that came in and immediately produced? What was it? Was it Keyshawn?
Jericho Cotchery, I think.
No, I mean, I think you're kind of doing a little bit discredit to Santonio Holmes, where the reason why Santonio Holmes got that big contract like he did is because he had some big-time games for the Jets and produced a lot of W's.
No, I'm talking about draftees, Jet draftees.
Oh, Jet draftees. Yeah. I mean, I would probably say Jericho Cotchery would be, you know, one of the guys who you would look at and say was the next productive guy that the Jets drafted. But I think your expectation is, you know, your expectation is you want to see these guys succeed. You want to see these guys come in and make big-time plays. I think you look at a guy like Shaq Evans, who's a big-time ball skills type player where he can go up and get a lot of passes. Now, they are saying that there's a lot of drops, but I think the Jets want to get back to that form where they were a couple years ago before Mike Tannenbaum, in my opinion, ruined the wide receiving core. You know, when you had Braylon Edwards, Santonio Holmes, and Jericho Cotchery, You know, that was a very, very good wide receiving core that led to a lot of success down the road and, you know, into an 11-win season. What do you think, Angelo?
Well, yeah, they were good. I mean, Braylon was good. But, again, I'm talking about draftees. You know, it used to be the thing, you know, wide receivers take 3 years to develop, which hopefully for Stephen Hill, that's true. But, I mean, in terms of expecting a fourth-round wide receiver to come in and produce, I think that's a little bit of a disservice to the player, actually.
No, I agree with you, but I think that the Jets' expectation is going to be for these guys to make some plays. I definitely think that because they didn't go out and they didn't – you know, you got Eric Decker, and I think right now, if you're a Jet fan, your biggest wide receiver that you want to see step onto the field and make the immediate impact is obviously going to be the guy you went out and spent a lot of money for. You want to go out and you want to get – you want to have Eric Decker, you know, score – a bunch of touchdowns. You want him to be a presence in the red zone. You want him to be a presence outside. But then again, you're going to want to look at the Jets' wide receiving core and say, okay, who's our next man up? Are you giving up on Stephen Hill? Are you giving up on Jeremy Curley? Are you moving these, you know, are you taking Saunders to replace the slot? Are you taking Shaq Evans to replace the outside guy in Stephen Hill? I don't know what direction they're going to go in, but I think that the Jets right now are in a lot better situation than they once were wide receiver-wise. Go ahead, Angelo.
Oh, I think Saunders is definitely being groomed to replace Jeremy Curley at some point, he might be able to, only because I think Jeremy Curley is going to, you know, command a dollar figure that Idzik is not going to be comfortable with. And we were talking about the Jets developing wide receivers, and I cheated a little bit, Brandon. I cheated a little bit. You know I like to go to the internet.
What else?
Jericho Cotchery played 12 games his first season. He had 6 catches.
Right.
2005, he played 16 games. He had 19 catches. It was in his third season that he caught 82 passes for 900 yards. So, again, these guys are going to take time to develop. As far as Stephen Hill goes, I hope he comes along this year. I really do, because I was excited when we drafted him just on his pure potential alone. But, I mean, I look at him sometimes. There was a play against New England last year in the first game. I think it was 3rd and 1.
Oh, yeah.
He caught an out, and all he needed to do was make one move, and he didn't gain a yard. Sometimes I wonder with Stephen Hill how he gets his helmet on over his antlers. I'm watching this play, and I'm going, okay, Bambi, I know how your mother died. Now I know.
Oh, my. Go ahead, Tom.
You know, when you go to camp, and I hope we all go to camp this summer up in Corland, he does look like a deer on ice when he's running. You know, I mean, it's nice, graceful strides, but when he has to stop and cut, it's like he breaks an ankle every time he tries to slow down a little bit. He's just a long striding guy. I remember his rookie year, James Lofton, you know, who knows a little something about being a speed wide receiver, said that Stephen Hill doesn't run like a wide receiver, you know, meaning he doesn't have any cadence, doesn't have any pace to his running ability. So it's you're talking about the rawest of raw projects here. I think Stephen Hill down the line might be okay, but I don't think they have any expectation for him to do anything this year. You know, I don't think next time you see Stephen Hill produce something, probably won't be as a Jet. What do you think, Ash?
Tom, the next time you see Stephen Hill, he may be strapped to the hood of some redneck's pickup truck. It can go either way, I swear. He can either, you know, go all pro, or he can be, you know, venison.
Venison. Wow, I really hit a nerve down the Stephen Hill road, huh?
Yeah. Because
something
I had such high hopes for him.
You really did. You had high hopes for him, and now he scorned you in a way that you keep calling him Bambi. That's very interesting take, Angelo.
Look, we hope he achieves. We hope he becomes something, because then your receiving core is essentially complete. You know, you have your slot receivers. You have Eric Decker on the outside, who's better than just a possession guy, but essentially that's what he'll be here. But if Stephen Hill can draw a double team down the field every couple plays, then you have a complete receiving core. It's just you can't bank on that at all. And I don't think Idzik is, judging by how many receivers he picked up in the offseason.
You know something too, Tom? I think the biggest impact player in terms of in the wide receiving game might come from the tight end position. I really think that this, Jason Morrow could step in and have a huge impact role right off the bat for the Jets. I think that, he's talking 100 catches, moving in and touchdowns. I really think that he could be a player that could step in and have an immediate impact more than anybody that they drafted. What do you think, Tom?
I think absolutely. I know this is crazy to say, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't get 75-80 catches this year. Marty Morningweg makes tight ends. I mean, we give him credit for making quarterbacks, but when you look at his tight ends with the Eagles, he makes those guys too. L.J. Smith, for instance. I forgot the name of the guy they have now, but he's, that guy came out of nowhere, and he's very, very good. I'll remember it in a second, but I can't remember now. But anyway, Morningweg, he knows the tight end position. He knows how important it is to a young quarterback especially. I'd be surprised if he doesn't get 75, 80 grabs. What do you think, Ange?
Well, I would love him to. I would just like him to hold on to the football because, again, this is why you really can't judge OTAs, especially for rookies, because he dropped, from what I understand, a ton of passes. Now, of course, it's going to change, but just you can. It's the same. It's the other side of the coin with Evans looking great.
I agree with you. I think you're going to have to see a lot of development here. And I think it's all going to come down to it when you look at these guys that they drafted. Who is going to step on and make the big plays quick? Because as a Jet fan, you say, wow, we drafted these guys. You're going to want results right off the bat. I think out of everybody, to be honest with you, in my personal opinion, I think Shaq Evans could be a guy that you're going to see step on the field to make the biggest immediate impact. What do you think, Angelo?
I would hope so. I mean, I actually have higher hopes of Jalen Saunders only because of, he's an absolute joystick, on the field. Evans, to me, you want to say his highlights, that's fine. Highlights are great, but you know what? I remember Dustin Keller's highlights. As soon as they drafted him, I looked at his highlights, and, he's got this one highlight reel, and they're playing Led Zeppelin. And he's going berserk. He's wearing number 28. I'm going, who the hell is this guy, 28? Why is he on Justin Keller's highlight reel, this running back? And meanwhile, he's going for 60, 70 yards at a time. And then he turned out to be a decent player, but, he sure as hell wasn't the guy on the highlights.
Now, one thing that I did want to ask you guys, so let's just go down the table here, and then we'll move on, because I do want to jump in and talk about the Jets' running game tonight. We haven't really dissected that at all to see, who's going to make the biggest impact, because this league, it seems like nobody cares about running backs anymore. So in my personal opinion, I think that out of the impact players offensively that the Jets drafted, I like Shaq Evans as the guy that's going to step on and make the biggest immediate impact. What do you think, Angelo? Who's your guy?
My guy, it's probably Amaro. In terms of receivers, sure. Again, are the Jets going to pass the ball enough? I mean, I heard a rumor earlier in the offseason, maybe somewhere in late February, that said that the Jets were planning to throw the ball 17 times a game. Sure, that would be a great plan. I doubt they're going to do it, but I also think that maybe the presence of Decker and even if David Nelson gets on the field, they're going to catch a lot of those mid to short passes. So I'm tempering my expectations with Amaro. I may buy his jersey anyway, but I don't want to curse him. But yeah, I would love to see Jason Morrow step up. Is optimism sometimes.
I'd agree, and I almost forgot about David Nelson. Talk about another forgotten man. But, the times when Geno Smith looked competent, it's when he had a guy like David Nelson on the field and Jeremy Curley. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I think those are the only two guys he really trusted, especially by the end of the season, and both of them, missed some time. So it was tough for him in a transition mode to figure out who was where. And I think Nelson and Curley did a good job of getting to places they're supposed to be, and Decker's going to do the same thing. And if Amaro comes along, you know, there's no reason the offense should have to only throw it 17 times a game. You should be able to throw it as many times as you want and see what happens.
No, I completely agree with you, Tom. And we are going to take a quick break here on Jet Nation Radio. When we come back, call line is open, 646-716-4697. Again, that is 646-716-4697. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking running backs. Who do you think right now is the best running back on the Jets roster? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Look, if you had one shot, one opportunity, seize everything you ever wanted, one moment that you captured, just let it slip.
Yo.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to strategicpeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you.
Strategicpeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting your music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Well, the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back on the screen here for listening to Jet Nation Radio. Lots to talk about, of course. Now, we kind of move segments here. We've done a lot of talking about the draft, done a lot of talking about the wide receivers. We've definitely... You know, I don't want to upset anybody out there in the Twitter world. We've done a lot of talking about Michael Vick and Geno Smith. And, you know, apparently some people, you know, they just, they're not prone to yelling. So I decided to keep my voice down tonight at a nice, easy, you know, inside voices like they used to tell me in kindergarten. So we'll go in that direction. But one thing we haven't done and we haven't dove into is the running back situation. Because, A, nobody cares about running backs in the NFL anymore because everybody throws the ball and these quarterbacks are putting up 300 to 400 yards every game. That's one of the reasons why. But I think the Jets are – they're one of their strongest points on this team, in my opinion, is going to be the running game. I think that the Jets right now are sitting pretty with three running backs that can produce – you could even say four – if Goodson is in a place, you know, that he can get on the field, stay out of prison, and stay out of the trainer's room. So I look at the Jets right now in terms of running backs, and I say, look, Chris Ivory obviously came across last year as a beast. He blew away expectations. A bunch of games last year, he put the Jets on their back and carried them to a victory.
Big short yardage guy, getting those tough first downs, getting those tough yards. Great running back. Bilal Powell, awesome breaking on speed. Had a bunch of runs last year that set up big-time drives. I like Bilal Powell a lot. I think he's a very underrated back in this league. And then, of course, you add in Chris Johnson, who I think the Jets needed to go get. I think that the Jets made such a good move in going to get him because I didn't see any downfall with it. I don't see any problems bringing a guy like Chris Johnson because it's a low financial move. It's a short-term contract on an older running back, and it's a guy who's coming in here with a chip on his shoulder. And if a guy like that can change the game with one run, I think that, you know, that's a really good weapon to have because the Jets don't have any game changers. There's a game changer for you. So my question is, first, Tom, who do you think is the best running back on the Jets roster right now? Tom
he's
Shane.
He's speechless.
Tom Shane is speechless. Angelo, go ahead.
He's stumped, Tom. I would, you know, I really believe that Chris Johnson is going to take the job.
You think
because
Chris
he's more versatile.
Start.
I think Chris Johnson's going to start only because he's more versatile. Chris Ivory, he, in the passing game, he offers nothing. And in a morning wake offense, you should have a guy that catches passes. So I would love for Chris Ivory to start, but I think it's going to be Chris Johnson because he's more versatile.
I definitely see your point with the passing game. I don't think that Chris Ivory, you know, obviously is going to have an impact there. But Angelo, before we dive back in, and I can't wait to hear your breakdown of why Chris Johnson would be the starter. We have to put things on hold, and maybe because. That's why Tom was so speechless and had to kind of fix his connection here is because we have Courtney Arillo on the line to talk about the post of the week. Hi, Courtney. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
You could have continued talking.
That's all right.
Well, because I was going to chime in also. It was a very interesting conversation.
Of the running back situation, who do you think is
best
running back on the roster?
Well, I mean, I liked the Powell and Ivory, you know, combo last year. It was pretty much the only thing we had going. But, I mean, I agree with you with Chris Johnson and how he needs to catch the passes also. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with our offense on a whole this year. But, you know, I think the three of them, you know, will probably do some switching out and we'll probably see a couple surprises. Nothing like Tim Tebow surprises, but, you know, I'm sure we'll see some switching up. So I'm excited about the three of them. I think the three of them will definitely lead the pack. But as far as – I don't have a tweet of the week because I've been a little quiet on Twitter lately, but I do have a post of the week, and I find it kind of interesting. Hold on. Let me go to it real quick. So
Courtney,
you
know Keith from Pittsburgh is going to be really excited that
you
called in to the show.
I know. I knew this was going to come up. I know. I did. You know, I played the silent but deadly game. I have been, paying attention to what's going on. I've just been
What's going
quiet.
On? Everything okay?
Oh, everything's totally fine. Work is kind of taking over. So I've been very busy with work. But, so as far as the post of the week, it's more of a forum topic, and I kind of have some issues with it, which is why I picked this, and it's posted by S. Chowds, who I never really saw before, even though he has 2,000 posts, but the topic is, who will be this year's whipping boy? And basically, it's the person that we all pick on and, you know, love to hate. Last year he said it was Clyde Gates. This year he's choosing Stephen Hill. I kind of thought that it's been Stephen Hill. But I personally don't like to pick on players, but I know there's always that player that everyone, you know, chooses. But,
That's because you're scorned with Mark Sanchez, though, right? That's why you don't pick on players?
No, I don't like it. You know, the players express, you know, now that everyone's on Twitter, you know, their frustrations. But then I thought I read a little bit more, and I thought the predictions were a little outrageous because ever since we picked up McDougal, you know, J4Jets said he thinks it's McDougal. And ever since we picked him up, I mean, I've been hearing, like, bad things about him, like, right off the bat. So
that's not good to hear bad things about drafted guys right off the bat.
No, and someone picked Jason Morrow. I mean, come on. Like, this is, like, ridiculously
early. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. You cannot choose a rookie for that.
No. I just don't agree.
It can't be a rookie.
Courtney, will you do me a big favor, though?
What's the favor?
you have to give my main man, Keith from Pittsburgh, a shout-out on the air. He was specifically
major
shout-out
if you're listening.
Kay Weston?
Weston. He was very
concerned.
Upset. Yeah, he was concerned. He actually, you know, wanted to know, you know, is everything okay? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm sure Courtney would be back on the air this week. Maybe it was something we said or you know, Tom not being – maybe it was because Tom wasn't here last week. That's the reason why Courtney didn't call in.
Yeah, well, you know, if Tom's on, then I'm not saying anything. It's just how I roll. No,
probably wise.
I want to say thank you to Keith. He did say something very nice, and he said he respects what I say, which no guy ever says that about what I say about football. At least.
I heard he was like a half a bottle deep of Jack Daniels when he was tweeting.
You know what? I have to say I support that statement also.
Hey, Courtney.
Yes.
Courtney, you know who the whipping boy is going to be?
Who is it going to be?
You know who the whipping boy is going to be?
Is it still going to be Mark Sanchez? Who? Who?
Oh, God, you stole my thunder, Courtney. You just... he's playing
so
in Philadelphia
stupid.
Right now.
Yeah, I know. Who's it going to be?
No, that was it. You got it. You nailed it. It must be true. He's the king whipping boy.
I'm sorry, as long as Clyde Gates is on the field, he will always be the whipping boy.
He looked like Mel Gibson's, what was it, Passion of the Christ?
that
was Mark Sanchez for the last 5 years.
Wait, there's no sound effect for that?
God.
No sound effect for that.
I was getting him sorted.
Don't get him sorted.
Wow.
That is rough.
Courtney, is there any other forums or any other updates that you have for us?
No, because you know why? I can't read the site. It's being updated.
Is that a knock on Phil on the air live on Jet Nation Radio? Wow.
What I do want to say, though, before I forget, is that I mentioned before Memorial Day weekend that I'm working on the video. It is almost done, but for whoever's listening, and still I hear my phone going off my ear, you're tweeting things. If anyone wants to send in some more fan pictures, some nice fan pictures, you know, send in some more pictures so I can add it.
So you're making a video. Is it like the Courtney Arillo experience, like a movie or something like that, like a documentary?
Well, no, it's not like that boring. It's just a little video.
Well, every week you're meeting players and going to steak dinners and you know, got
not
everything
really.
Going on. So I mean, it should definitely be pretty exciting, no?
Well, it's just a little like fan appreciation video. Nothing crazy. It's not like a documentary, and you know, it's just a thank you to the fans. So
okay, cool. I got one, Courtney.
Oh,
I have a really cool picture of Santonio Holmes. I don't know if you've seen it before.
It's a fan video. It's a fan friendly. We're embracing. We're saying thank you. Yeah.
It's a big fan favorite, Courtney. I got to tell you.
Oh boy.
Oh,
nothing
that
needs
my
to be
goodness.
Censored, please. So
always,
that is,
always
that is
exciting.
You want to say.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much, Courtney. I appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing back from you next week. And before you go, for the third time, just you know, give one more shout out to Keith from Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Keith from Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much,
I will
Courtney.
Be back live on Twitter. All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great night.
You
good
too.
Night, Courtney. Good night, Courtney.
Bye.
Oh, man. And that I've got my entertainment fill for the week right there. I really do.
She's Court now? She's
oh, yeah.
Court
we're
to
cool
you?
Now. We're friends. Court, see?
I'm Angelo, do you not find it ironic? Last week, Tom's not on the air. Last week, we get no post of the week. We get no phone call. We get nothing. There's no tweets. Both of them are MIA.
No.
I know.
Let me, let me tell you something.
Go ahead,
speaking
Tom.
Of last week, by the way, I'm not here last week, and you guys get like 15, 16 phone calls. But like 2 weeks before, I decide to like put out like all fan phone call week, and we get one call. I'm not here. We get 15 calls. How much do people hate me exactly? Are we aware of this? Is there a poll somewhere that we can run on this?
Tom, did you not see Twitter
really
this week?
Poll?
Twitter this week. I mean, I was doing some searching and I came across some lovely feedback, man. It had nothing to do with you. You're good.
Oh yeah,
Tom.
Well, Bill, I heard that you guys were abusive to callers last week. You know,
oh.
I turn on Twitter today. There's a conspiracy going on. I don't know what goes on when I'm not around. What happens to you guys?
Conspiracy? What? There's conspiracies going on. Does it involve me? The conspiracy?
No, it involves Kaiser Soze, the boardmaster. So, but that's, you know, neither here nor there.
Is Jack Bauer involved in the conspiracy?
If we should be so lucky to have somebody as competent as Jack Bauer involved in this conspiracy.
All right, well, let's dive back into our running back conversation. Tom, before you decided to, you know, pick your jaw off the floor when Courtney called in, question for you. Right now, best running back on this Jets roster, who is it and why? Go for it.
Oh, man. Let's say, I mean, the best overall running back, the guy I want to rely on is Chris Ivory, and the guy we need to be healthy is Chris Ivory. But the guy that we haven't had here since Leon Washington is obviously Chris Johnson, C2-1K or whatever his initials are now.
2K.
I mean, I know he's old, but we haven't had a guy that can take the ball and go 80 yards, and now we do. So we'll see how that goes.
So, I mean, I agree with you. And, you know, I really didn't understand. I don't see the point of view of not liking the Chris Johnson deal. A couple people I did see, you know, decided to tweet after they thought it was a bad move. You know, why try and get older at that position? Older running backs don't pan out. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson, when he first got here, was a very good impact player for the Jets. I think LaDainian Tomlinson obviously different than Chris Johnson, but I think looking at Chris Johnson, you have to say this is a guy who can change the game with one carry. And we know that very well. How many of us sitting on this panel tonight remember Monday Night Football against the Titans in that dead heated game, and Chris Johnson sitting on the 1 yard line, and you know when you go to get your a sausage sandwich and put a little ketchup on it, you come sit back down on the couch and he's in the end zone. I mean, that's what the Jets haven't had. And you can tell me Chris Ivory, that's great. He's going to be, you know, your big time back, and he's going to be the guy who's going to take the hits, and he's going to take most of the workload. But Chris Johnson really excites me in the fact that we now have a game breaker, a game changer in the backfield. What do you think, Angelo?
I would say if this was like 2010,
here we go,
or 11, you'd be right. No, Brandon, his carries over 20 yards are a fraction of what they were. Why? I don't know. Last year, you can say he had the meniscus injury. And again, I was just the guy that was supporting him a second ago. But in this aspect, you have to get him in space. So Morningweg's going to have to be very creative to get Chris Johnson in space. If you get him in space, then yeah, I think he can still take it to the house. But on a handoff, not as much anymore. Unless he proves otherwise.
Here's my question to you, Angelo.
There's a trend.
Okay. There's definitely a response to that. First off, I think the Tennessee Titans completely got dismantled. I think their offensive line was a fraction of where it was a couple years ago and when Chris Johnson was putting up those numbers. I think now you're getting a guy that like Chris Johnson who has the type of mindset that when he – it's one of those players, you hate to use this terminology, but when he wants to be great and when he wants to hit that switch, he can be better than anybody on the field. I think Chris Johnson coming to the Jets, getting a fresh start with a pretty good offensive line, running behind Nick Mangold and DeBrickishaw Ferguson, I think he can do some great things here. I'm not concerned about his previous last year. And first off, you're talking about a guy who we're sitting here saying, well, you know, he's a fraction of what he was. He also had, in a fraction of what he was, he's never not rushed for 1,000 yards. Think about that for a second. You're talking about a guy who's, we're sitting here saying, well, you know, he's all right. He's not what he used to be. 1,000 yards every single year. That's, you know, that's his number that he gets to without a blink of an eye. So if he's better, which I think he's going to be better than what's advertised because of, you know, his injuries and stuff like that, you're at least getting a 1,000-yard rusher with a game-changing ability. Go ahead, Angelo.
Well, I mean, Thomas Jones rushed for 1,000 yards a year, so I don't put too much
Thomas
stock
Jones
in that.
Was not, Thomas but my Jones question was not a bad is, running back.
No, he was. He couldn't elude. God, there's a metaphor here that I'm not finding. Anyway, Brandon,
a lamppost.
Yeah, he couldn't avoid a lamppost. Very good, Shane. There you go.
He couldn't get water if he fell out of a boat. Go ahead.
Yeah, there you go.
Go ahead.
Well, that's. My question is, but you don't want Chris Johnson to start.
I don't. It depends. I think Chris Johnson could be the starting running back of this football team. I think Chris Ivory's biggest impact last year was when he's coming in spelling Bilal Powell, and then boom, these linebackers have no idea what hit him, and he's running over people, and he's fresh. I think Chris Johnson and Bilal Powell together, if they're taking, you know, the bulk of the workload, and Chris Ivory comes in and, you know, gets a third and one, third and two, gets that first down, goal line touchdown, he breaks that 65-yard, you know, that breaks that 65-yard run. Chris Ivory is a guy that runs with so much power and puts so much into every single run and takes and wears down the defenders that you can go either way with him. If you want to go Chris Ivory, you know, for the first two quarters and then go speed with Chris Johnson, you have that ability. If you want to go speed with Chris Johnson and then go, you know, go with the power with Chris Ivory, you have that ability as well. I think the Jets have some really, really good options. I think their running game is going to be one of the biggest strong suits of this team because they have the speed and the power and a little bit of both mixed in with Bilal Powell. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, Marty Morningweg's already on the record as saying expect.
Well, I mean, Marty Morningweg is definitely going to have a lot of fun with this running back core. He's going to be moving around people, subbing in and out. But again, I think it comes down to how do you want to play it? Which direction do you want to go? Angelo, if you're Marty Morningweg, are you giving the bulk of your carries to Chris Ivory wearing down that defense? Or are you bringing Chris Ivory in, you know, as a specialist type back who's going to take those third and ones, who's going to pound the football, and who's going to have big time runs because that defense is not expecting it?
I don't know. I think it's situational, although I think that the thing that Johnson gives you is that the defense, when Chris Ivory's on the field, it's probably a run, and it's the only thing. You've got to avoid predictability, and you can go either. You can be predictable with Johnson on the field, in a certain sense. As long as you can avoid that predictability, I don't care who really starts, who finishes. I think that they'll probably wind up splitting carries. I think Bilal Powell will be the odd man out. And you know what? Bilal Powell better watch his behind because Darryl Richardson is a very talented back.
Right. But I also look at Bilal Powell as one of the guys who's a very unsung hero for the Jets. I think he is a very underrated running back who could come on here and do some great things. I think everybody wants to go in and look at Chris Johnson and say, well, this guy is going to come on, he's going to start, and he's going to be a great impact player. I don't think so right off the bat, But again, I think Chris Johnson has that ability to come in, make plays, and take over this starting role. We're going to take a quick break here. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio. When we come back, we're going to dive into the cornerbacks of this team. How in trouble are the Jets in terms of the corners right now on this team? Back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Are you a business trying to get the word out about your goods? Or an organization seeking to make the world a better place? Or a band promoting a new tour or debut EP? How do you keep up with the ever-evolving world of social media? Craft your message and make sure it gets to the right people. The answer is the Strategic Peacock. The Strategic Peacock takes pride in helping organizations create and implement online strategies that appropriately target the right audience with the right information using the right media. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence. Visit strategicpeacock.com to develop the right web strategies for success.
Hi, I'm Allie, and I'm here to talk about a serious problem. Your children are listening to bad music. They go home, turn on the radio, and get down with their bad selves. You think it's harmless. You think it's just them being a teenager. You're wrong. Nothing is as harmful or addictive as bad music. Soon your kids will start thinking bad music is good, and the world will be filled with only bad music. So talk to your children about the dangers of bad music and tell them about the cure, Indie Outbreak. Indie Outbreak features a huge selection of great indie artists fighting against the bad music plague. Good music to save their minds. Join with us at IndieOutbreak.com, and together we can help stop the spread of bad music.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? Then the Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
Listening to Jet Nation Radio, and here are your hosts, Tom Shane, Angelo Berkowitz, and Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And we are back here off the break listening to Jet Nation Radio. So far we've talked about impact wide receivers, we've gone down the running back lane a little bit. Now it's time to move over to the defensive side of things, and the biggest discussion is the Jets. At one time in our lifetime here, we sat and said, well, their cornerbacks are better than everybody else's. You had Arivas on one side, you had Cromartie on one side, and then you had Kyle Wilson, who everybody loved to be. I like the new term, the whooping player. I think that's a very interesting take on some guys who don't perform. He was definitely on the list of people who decided to, you know, who wanted to get on a player. Now the Jets sit here, and our number one cornerback is Dee Milliner out of Alabama. And now you're at a point where do you go with the corners? Is this one of the biggest, weakest links on this team? But before we get to that, we do have a caller out there tonight. There are people alive out in Jet Nation tonight. So we have Glenn, who wants to call in and talk about the quarterbacks. This is going to be great. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hi, how are we doing tonight, guys?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good, man.
Great, Glenn.
I'm doing all right. I was listening last week, and I heard a lot of conversation about the Geno versus Vic debate and who's the better quarterback. And I know, you know, Vic is a pretty polarizing figure with his past. And, you know, start off by saying I don't like the guy one bit. I hope he doesn't suit up. I was upset when the Jets signed him. But at the end of the day, you look at the numbers Geno put up last year, and in the entire time Vic's been in the league, he's never had a season where he threw more interceptions than touchdowns. And the Jets at this point, with the defense they keep trotting out there with Rex, we saw what they did with Sanchez in his first and second year. He wasn't spectacular. They just need a guy to not throw twice as many interceptions as touchdowns. I mean, we can all hope and we can all want Geno to be the better quarterback, and we can hope that he, you know, cuts his interceptions in half and doubles his touchdowns to put up some respectable numbers and give him a chance to win. But based on Vic's track record, and I'm not talking about his you know, his ability to stay healthy. That's a whole other issue. You know, no GM goes out and signs a guy with the anticipation he's only going to play a few games if he's the starter. It is a gamble, and he is more injury prone. But if both quarterbacks are healthy, if both guys are ready to go come opening day, I don't see how Vic is not going to be the better quarterback. That's not to say he'll win. I think he will have to far outperform Geno to get the Jets, to get Izzik and Ryan, to sit Geno. Geno, this is his job to lose, and he's going to have to absolutely bomb to lose the job. But I think that Vic's track record shows that when he's healthy, he is the better quarterback.
Glenn, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Now, when you're looking at these two quarterbacks and you're comparing them both and you're breaking down Michael Vick to Geno Smith, I get it. Your biggest problem that you have is Geno Smith, you know, was a turnover machine last year. He had a lot of bad interceptions, and that comes with the fact of playing a rookie quarterback who was not ready to play, who was not ready to jump in and was kind of thrown into the fire, and I think did okay. But let's put it into this perspective. Glenn, you look at Michael Vick and you look at Geno Smith. You can tell me Geno Smith threw, you know, more, you know, the touchdown to interception ratio awful last year. I get it. Michael Vick right now is obviously not on the same caliber playing wise where he was years ago. But my problem is, and the reason why I think that there's really no evidence, a track record is fantastic, but there's no evidence to me that shows that Michael Vick can step onto the field and win football games better than Geno Smith can. Because if you're going off his most recent track record last year, Michael Vick is trotting onto a field with probably the best offensive team in terms of playmakers: DeSean Jackson, Brent Celek, LeSean McCoy, Riley Cooper. You're walking out there with a loaded roster in the NFC East that really wasn't that great last year, and you're coming onto the field and you're losing football games, where Geno Smith is walking onto the field and you can, you know, point in any direction that you want, where, you know, they were winning games with Mark Sanchez, where, you know, he was going out there making minimal mistakes. I just don't see how Michael Vick, who lost more games than he won that he played in last year with a loaded roster and a bad division, is better than a rookie quarterback who finished 8-8, had some pretty good wins last year against some teams that probably would have beaten down the Philadelphia Eagles. And overall, Geno Smith's end to the year is what you have to build off of. And Michael Vick right now, from his track record last year, I don't see how he's a better quarterback than Geno Smith. And you're more than welcome to follow up, Glenn. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I understand what you're saying, and Vic didn't play well last year, but he had a guy on the roster who far outplayed him. I mean, you look at the season Nick Foles had. He went out there and had, I think, what was it, considered the third most prolific passing season for a quarterback in the history of the league.
Absolutely.
But to be fair, you're right. Vic wasn't playing great. But my biggest thing, I understand Vic doesn't have, you know, he's not as athletic as he used to be. The completion percentage is, you know, not a whole lot better than what we've seen from Geno and Sanchez. But I think just as a Jet fan, especially these last couple of years, I am so fed up with the turnovers. I just want to see a guy who goes in there and at least turns it over fewer times than he gets in the end zone. And that's, we haven't seen that in so long. And it's not even been close. I mean, if we could get a guy to throw 18 touchdowns and 17 picks, we might have a shot. But we have guys going out there, 11, 12, 13 touchdowns, and the picks are in the 20s. And, you know, we see it every week. This defense gets beat down. They go out there, they dominate for a couple quarters, they start to get weak, you know, mid, late third quarter, and by the fourth quarter they're spent, and it's because they're constantly on the field. You know, it's nice that they added a guy like Pryor to the defensive backfield to try to cut down on the deep balls last year, because they did get beat a lot, and everybody knew that. And, you know, Amaro adds a nice weapon to the offense. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Geno has a shot to beat Mike Vick out. You know, he did finish strong, but to some degree the Jets did protect him. They ran the ball a lot more. They simplified the offense for him. which is fine. That's, you know, some people hold that as a big negative against Geno. You know, you look at Tom Brady, his first couple years in the league, they got through 15 screen passes a week. They protected him like there was no tomorrow. So I don't have an issue with that, but I'm just saying he hasn't shown a ton. He showed flashes, which is good. I mean, he was a rookie. He didn't have a lot to work with. But I'm just saying right now, today, we know Vic is a guy who has never turned it over more than he's gotten in the end zone, and Geno was nearly 2-1 last year, you know, going the other way. So it's not that I don't think Geno could step up. He's got some more weapons, hopefully, between drafting three receivers, adding Chris Johnson, adding a tight end. You know, hopefully this is enough to give him the tools to take that next step. But if I'm looking at his numbers right now today and against the body of work Mike Vick's put together, I think that Vic is the guy who's going to...
Yeah, but that's not fair, though, because you can't compare Geno Smith to Michael Vick's body of work. Michael Vick's been in the league a lot longer. You can't compare a rookie quarterback who is going to have the ups and downs of a rookie season to a guy who's, you know, was once a Pro Bowler and probably at the top of the food chain in terms of quarterbacks. Again, Michael Vick is not in a position, if he can't go out and win you football games with a loaded offense in this practically, you know, what was the same system that the Jets are running now. He didn't win a lot of football games and wasn't that successful in Philadelphia the last 2 years. So I think that he showed spurts, but again, your comparison is you don't want to see turnovers, and I get it. Michael Vick first.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I'm not saying. I mean, this is the life of a Jet fan, is that you're hoping and praying that your quarterback can be mediocre, because we've not had that in a few years. I'm not saying Vic's going to go out there and go to the Pro Bowl and throw 35, 40 touchdowns. I'm saying he might go out there and throw 18 touchdowns and 15 picks, which is kind of the range he's been in when he's been a starter. But, and again, you know, his health, his durability is an issue. He may not, even if he wins the job, he may only last a couple of games. But it was a long discussion last week, and I was just surprised that nobody brought up the turnover issue. That's my biggest concern. And granted, Geno's only got 1 year to go off of. He was coming from a college offense where he had to learn a completely new scheme with a different mindset. He, you know, not really strong under center, working strictly out of the shotgun in college. He had to improve by leaps and bounds, and he did show some improvement. But, and again, I hope he wins the job. I'm not a Vic fan, but looking at it objectively, I look at the numbers and say, you know, because honestly, I did look at the numbers because I was curious. I thought to myself, how many times has Vic thrown more picks than he has touchdowns? And he's actually never done it. I think it's rookie year when he had a couple starts. But
yeah, well, you know,
as a starter,
it's also easy to do that when you never finish a season as well. Go ahead, Tom. Tom definitely wanted to follow up. But, Glenn, I mean, you make a good point. I see where you're coming from. You know, I see where your opinion lies, is you're sick and tired of watching quarterbacks go out there and cost your team football games and the defense break down late in the game. I get it. I'm with you. I'm watching the same team. I'm watching the same games as you are. But my concern is with Michael Vick is I think the best way to look at Michael Vick is a stopgap starter. And I've said it since the day we signed him. I think you have to let Geno Smith, he had a great, you know, take his numbers from the month of December. He finished 8-8 with a very weak offensive roster. He finished 500 in his rookie year, which is very, very uncommon for rookie quarterbacks. You take what you build off of last year. He's also, you know, from what we've seen and what we've heard, you know, he's done a pretty decent job so far coming into these OTAs, getting ready to go, being on point. He knows that Michael Vick is in his rearview mirror, which is great. I look at Michael Vick in the best situation, in the best case scenario for Michael Vick is we're sitting here week 3 or 4, the Jets are 0-3, Geno Smith comes on the field, he throws 3 picks in the first half, it's a 7-3 game, you need a spark, the offense is completely dead like we've seen, and then you're coming into a point where, you know, Michael Vick comes in and provides that spark. And he comes in and plays quarterback in that sense. I don't see Michael Vick being better and being good enough to beat out Geno Smith. I think Michael Vick is not here to beat out Geno Smith. I think Michael Vick doesn't have the ability or the durability to outperform Geno Smith. I think you see Michael Vick, if we're in a situation where MetLife is booing Geno out of the building, like we saw with Mark Sanchez and Greg McElroy. And then here comes Michael Vick. And I think that's okay. I think that's a good spot for Michael Vick, because he's a guy that can come in and give you a spark, that quick spark, and then all of a sudden he gets hurt and goes away on you. And go ahead, Glenn, one more point before we let you go.
No, yeah, I agree. Again, the off-the-field issues, you know, put me in a position where I'm not a fan, but just from a football perspective, it's absolutely – I mean, it's a marked improvement over having, you know, no pun intended, but your Mark Brunells and your Greg McElroys of the world. You want a guy that you feel like can come in, who's going to know the offense, who's a veteran quarterback, good decision maker. He's definitely got enough left in the tank to play a few games and pull a couple of wins out, and you just feel a lot better as a fan going into the season with that, as opposed to knowing Brunell, who was more of a coach than a player. Sims, as your third stringer, you know, who knows what the future is going to bring for him, but he's not really done anything to inspire confidence in the fan base. You know, that you can,
right.
there's a lot of hope that he'll be something, but nobody's seen enough of him to know how good he'll be. You know, he's got the pedigree, some of the tools are there, he's got the arm strength, and that's all great, but he doesn't have the game experience, and now they have that. Now they have a guy that, again, I do hope Geno beats him out, but I'm just tired of interceptions. But you guys, thanks for the call. You guys, take care.
You and me both, Glenn. Thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
So that was Glenn calling in, talking quarterbacks. Very good insight, and very good way to look at it. I think that you're looking from the point of view of who's going to step up where, and who's going to make that leap. And I think Geno right now has to make that leap in order for the Jets to be successful. I think Michael Vick is going to be in a situation where he's coming in only if the situation has hit rock bottom. You will see Michael Vick if the situation hits rock bottom. Go ahead, Angelo. Any follow-up on that?
No, I have no follow-up. I think Geno's fine. I think he's just fine.
That's a very passive-aggressive stance.
No, I'm psyched for Geno.
We do have another caller here on Jet Nation Radio, and it's one of my favorite names of all time. Green Beans is on the Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Fantastic. How are you?
Hello, Green Beans.
I'm doing just great. Hey there, Bo. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. So the question I have for you, and I don't know what you guys have talked about because I've been driving from here and there and everywhere today, but so I know you're talking quarterbacks. That's about as far as I know. But the thing I want to know is, I think you guys were out there, is what does Taj Boyd look like in an NFL type of situation? Does he look like he could be anything, or does he look like eh?
I definitely think that was more of a pick from the Jets of, to see what that guy could do outside of the quarterback sense. I don't think that Taj Boyd will ever start an NFL game for the Jets. I think Taj Boyd, if you watch him, he could be a very interesting package player in the Wildcat, like Brad Smith type situation, or down in the goal line. Where he's coming in and, fourth and goal, third and goal on the one, and you need a bootleg or a sneak. I think he could make an impact somehow, which, again, you're coming from a later round pick. You hope that he makes the roster. So there wasn't really much risk and there wasn't really much expectation with taking him. But I think if there's any role for Taj Boyd on the Jets, it's going to be in a Brad Smith type role, minus obviously the kick returning.
So you're basically – so who do you think the third-string guy is, and you think Sims keeps that job?
I definitely do. I think also, if I'm Matt Sims, I don't know if I really want a third-string job on the Jets. I think Matt Sims has more of an ego where he feels like he's kind of paid his dues and he's ready to go try and compete for a backup or starting quarterback job on a lower team that really needs the help. I think the Jets right now – it wouldn't surprise me for them to keep Boyd as a fourth kind of utility player, almost like in baseball when you have that utility guy. I think Taj Boyd could be a utility offensive player. I don't see him being able to come in and play quarterback for the Jets, but I definitely see him as an impact-type guy who can make some plays. But I if you're talking third-string quarterback, which is a very – even on the Jets, it might seem important because it's sometimes we always get down there. But I think that it's not really that critical where you would say, okay, you know, Matt Sims or, you know, Taj Boyd, but it's going to be more based on, you know, who can be that guy to step in if – because Michael Vick is probably the least durable backup quarterback in the league. So your third-string quarterback is going to be important in a sense because Geno goes down, you know, how long is Michael Vick going to last? And then all of a sudden here comes Matt Sims. So I think they would keep four and keep Taj Boyd as a utility guy.
Right. So, yeah, and actually the reason I was asking about Boyd is, well, first, I live in ACC country, right? I'm in North Carolina, so that I've seen him before. And the other reason is he seems to have the same type of skill set that, you know, maybe not as athletic as Vic was coming out, but the same type of player. So it made sense to me to maybe keep him and, you know, let Sims go on his merry way, although I know that will crush some people who are crazy about Matt Sims and think he's going to be the second coming of his dad.
Yeah, I think so,
I don't
too.
Believe
I
that.
Think you might be right. I also look at it from this point of view. I think that Taj Boyd is a work-in-progress type player that could be something special. I don't see him I didn't really see anybody high on him in terms of quarterback play. I really, you know, everybody was looking at him as being a potential guy to switch positions even, or, you know, like I said, being that short yardage guy doing the jump pass and the bootlegs and wildcat type play, which, again, that could be great because we saw when the wildcat was at its best, it was when Brad Smith could throw the ball. And that's the truth.
That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. Anyway, I know you guys are getting ready to wind down. I appreciate you taking my call, and hopefully I'll remember to call you next week.
Anytime. Thank you so much, John. I appreciate it.
Yeah, y'all have a good night. Take it easy.
Thanks, Angelo, any final, any closing statements before we wrap it up here on Jet Nation Radio?
Oh, you mean like I've got to encompass the whole show? I actually wanted to talk about Matt Sims. Matt Sims, I think his days are numbered. I think his days are numbered. You know, Matt Sims is the Jacob Dillon of the Jets, actually.
He had that
one hit, Jacob Dillon. Matt Sims had that one quarter in preseason that everybody's hanging their hats on. They see the blonde hair. You know, he looks a little in the face like Phil Sims. But this is a guy that couldn't beat out Tyler Bray in college. I think that his days are numbered. They'll keep Boyd as the third quarterback, and he'll be kind of like developmental quarterback plus for the Jets. Now, hopefully, Michael Vick can stay healthy, holding the clipboard for Geno. We can all hope, can't we, Brandon?
Yes, we can.
And we won't have to go to Boyd. Well, I don't think we will. I think we'll sign somebody off the street. But to keep an extra, you know, a fourth quarterback on the roster, I don't think that would be the way that they would go. And I don't think keeping Matt Sims is the way to go either, because the upside on Taj Boyd is way higher than Matt Sims, genetically or not. I don't know who Taj Boyd's dad was, but I'm sure he was a pretty good athlete as well.
Angelo, I definitely agree with you. I think that Taj Boyd can bring it, even as a third-string quarterback, could come in and provide a spark offensively, whether it be on the goal line, in a goal line set, or in the wildcat. I think that he brings a lot more upside than Matt Sims. Very interesting to see how that plays out. The third-string quarterback job is going to be definitely up for grabs, and it's going to be a big job because Michael Vick doesn't stay healthy. If their backup quarterback actually gets into the game because Geno goes down or Geno falls or Geno has, you know, a lot of problems and has to be pulled from the game, your third-string quarterback better be ready to go because Michael Vick doesn't stay healthy for too long, as we've seen from the past couple years. I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight to Jet Nation Radio. We'll be back at you rocking next week. And, of course, we will have some more topics as we talk Jets every single week here on Jet Nation Radio. I want to thank the callers out there tonight. We will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.